Coming up on show 509, BMW's big EV rollout announcement. The Lightyear One. The Leaf E Plus gets a UK price. Well, those stories and many more coming up on today's podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, and ruddy well, good evening. Wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily, Tuesday 25th of June edition today. My name is Martin Lee. I go through every single EV story I can find online to save you time. And time saving is what myev.com is all about. If you're in the USA, I'm sure you've checked it out by now. But if you are the only one left that hasn't, go to myev.com. Brilliant, get the sponsor's name wrong. Myev.com, your electric vehicle marketplace, making buying and selling and learning about EVs ever so easy. What I love as well, when I'm searching around Inside EVs for stories, they've now added some highlights on Inside EVs. They sort of show you the best sort of two or three cars or a few highlights at the bottom of the page on Inside EVs with myev.com. Nice partnership. I love that. Well done, boys. Looks fantastic. Big announcement from BMW kicks us off on the news today. The German high-end carmaker BMW said today it would accelerate its plans to build new electric models as the whole industry comes under pressure to meet strict emissions regulations, said Yahoo News today. The Munich-based manufacturer will offer 25 electrified vehicles in 2023. That's not far away, and it's a big increase on where they are at the moment. That's 2 years earlier than planned as well, by the way. They've been talking 2025 until now. The chief executive, Harald Krüger, said in a statement today, of those, more than half of those 25 cars are going to be pure electrics. So they're bringing it forward by 2 years and saying that half of all their new models, so, you know, more than half of 25, so at least 13, is going to be pure BEVs. Meanwhile, Motor1.com says it's a big day at BMW because today the company was hosting the Next Gen Conference. The Next Gen Conference was at their headquarters in Germany. At the event, the Vision M Next was shown off. The Vision M Next is a concept car. It's a pure BEV. Looks a bit like the BMW i8, kind of on steroids as well. Man, what a car. The 5 Series experimental electric vehicle, which we'll get onto in a minute, and the e-box electric motorcycle were all being debuted. There's more news coming out of Munich as I'm recording this podcast, though. BMW's chief of engineering is Klaus Frohlich. He said in a roundtable interview with journalists that had gone to the event, I'm not a journalist, I'm an idiot on a podcast, but proper journalists, like the senior editor of Motor1.com, Jeff Perez. BMW told him that BMW's M division is going to be betting really big on battery power. The company is introducing plug-in hybrid versions of their M range. You know, the M BMWs, their performance versions, the M3, the M5, legendary heritage to the M brand. And they're going to electrify those as well with plug-ins. Well, the BMW M Next concept, this is the one I referenced a moment ago, unquestionably the highlight of their big conference today. It looks like a modern M1. It's got 600 horsepower. It's a plug-in hybrid powertrain, so a bit like the Polestar 1. It's going to have that hybrid of... It can plug in. It'll go a long way on battery power, but it's got a big old engine as well. BMW also revealed something with an even more powerful and potentially interesting powertrain. So there's two ways of making... A little side note here. Two ways of making an EV. You can start from scratch. Good way of doing it. And a bit of a faff if you've already got thousands of people making cars around the world. Or you can try and work out, are there ways that we can stuff things places that means we haven't got to start the company from scratch? Because, you know, we have tens of thousands of people who all need to be paid and unions and things. And so that's what BMW did with this one. And they took the current BMW 5 Series body and, as a bit of a test, thought, well, what could we do with an electric powertrain in this? Well, Autoblogs say that the Project BEV, as they called it, they got everything they wanted. They found a way to get everything they want packaged into the 5 Series, took up no extra passenger space. Don't mention the boot space, by the way, but it's seriously impressive. The BMW found a way to get 3 motors, all of the batteries, all of the cooling equipment, and everything stuffed into their existing car, never designed to be an EV in the first place, but they did on Project BEV. So they're thinking about ways, obviously, like cars like the BMW i3, carbon fiber, space age, built from the ground up. They're doing it both ways, but it's kind of interesting that they're looking at both ways of doing it, right? Finally, Automotive News Europe point out that this year, BMW is going to start production of the electric Mini at their plant in Oxford in England. The Mini is an exciting car. Not going to have amazing range, by the way. And it's using the existing BMW i3 technology, not the next gen BMW EV technology, which I think is a little disappointing, but let's judge the car once we see it and drive it and all those kind of things. It's going to be followed next year by the electric version of the X3, the iX3. That's the mid-size SUV that is wildly popular in so many parts of the world. That's going to be built in China for global markets. Following the year after, in 2021, by a crossover, which is currently called the iNext. That's going to be made in Germany. They're also that year going to make the i4. That's the sedan, the mid-size sedan. Think sort of Model 3 beta. Competitor. Falling into the trap of lazy things, saying they're Tesla beaters. Set to be assembled in Munich. BMW currently offers plug-in versions of the 3 and the 7 series. So if you've got an X3 or an X5, you can get a plug-in version of that in some parts of the world. This summer, BMW is also going to be releasing plug-in versions of the 5 series and the 2 series as well. The next generation technology is going to be in those, which means, actually, for some people with a reasonably shortish commute, you can do all of your journey on electric power and never, ever fire up the fossil gobbler. And of course, we know that means that when people enjoy electric power, they will inevitably buy a full electric car as the next one they buy. That's going to be followed as well, by the way. I think by the end of the year, we get plug-in versions of the X1 and the 3 series, plug-in versions with this new bigger battery PHEV technology. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, another car that got huge news today, and it's one that I need your help with. Please fill in the blanks for me. What am I missing? A new concept car was announced today. It's called the Lightyear One. It's a not solar powered, but it has solar power built into it, a bit like Sono Motors, which is another really interesting project that I find it hard to see the kind of commercial success, but, you know, great technology. And it's got an eye-watering price, this Lightyear One. But, like I say, it's had a wild reception. As of recording this podcast, the fully charged video, which Robert Llewellyn and his production team put out today, a few hours ago, has now had 150,000 views. It was in YouTube's top trending videos. And so the world's gone bonkers over it. So what am I missing? It's a Dutch company, and they were kind enough to invite me along to the launch this morning. It was in the really early hours of this morning, actually. And as you know, various work things over the weekend, I just couldn't make it. I tried to make everything join up. I just couldn't make it. And so, firstly, thank you to Lightyear for extending me the invitation. I'm enormously grateful that you invited me along to that, and I'm enormously sorry that I couldn't make it, because I would like to have come along and seen it with my own eyes and meet the team and ask them questions. Today they debuted the Lightyear One. It's a long-range prototype. It's got a range of 450 miles, which for an EV is massive. It's got a small battery as well. So how are they achieving this? Well, they've got solar panels on the car, which will add to the battery charge alongside obviously plugging it in. Reports Engadget, the idea is that you can take the car on long road trips because it's not fully dependent on charging infrastructure in the way that pure electric cars are. Solar panels add up to 7.5 miles an hour. Yes, that's not a lot, but if you've got a 50-mile journey and your car's been parked out all day, then, you know, in some parts of the world, if your car is parked directly in the sunlight, if you're lucky enough to have a sunny day, then this is an interesting way to think about it. The reservation fee, by the way, is €119,000. That's hefty. But, I mean, there's only going to be, well, that's for the first 500 cars, if they make any more than 500. About $135,000 equivalent, by the way. That's the reservation fee. You won't get one till 2021. It makes the Lightyear more of a purchasable concept car than the production vehicle. But if you've got a spare few $100,000 lying around and you want to help them get underway, you know, support a company and new technology, it might be something that you want to do. The Verge says that the stats on the car, that it charges at 60 kilowatt fast charging, not that fast, but 60 kilowatt charge speeds, probably enough, giving it 507 kilometers of range. Every time you charge the car, the car's got four electric motors. They're hub motors, I think, by the look of it. And so you've got an electric motor in each wheel. It can do 0 to 100 Ks, which is 0 to 62 miles an hour, in 10 seconds. So not setting any records with this. This is more about endurance than sprinting. So why is that? Well, when I tell you the history of the company, it'll all make sense. Lightyear was founded by a group of former University of Eindhoven students. They won the World Solar Challenge with their Stella, S-T-E-L-L-A, their Stella solar cars, cars that could actually take in even more sunlight than they needed to run. So the car is looks like a concept car. Its shape is all about efficiency and aerodynamics. Lightyear says that unlike conventional solar panels, the cells they use are all independent. So even if one small part of the roof is in shadow, other cells continue to collect solar energy. Our cells, they say, provide 20% more energy than traditional ones. This is really interesting, and I always support any company that's managed to go out, get the money, get the backing, get the funding, persuade someone to write a big old check, hopefully, getting something back at the end of it. But I'd love to know what their end game is. And I probably wouldn't have asked that, because that's a really rude question to ask on their launch day today. Even if I had like 30 seconds to ask a question, I would have congratulated them on their hard work and wished them all the best. And then come home and said to you on the podcast, like, what's their end game? Surely it's just to develop some technology and sell it. It must be. Because there isn't a business in selling a low number of wildly expensive cars when for 150,000, for instance, you're going to get, if you are genuinely just going to, you have that much money to buy a car, you won't buy this unless you are rich beyond your wildest dreams and you can indulge yourself in this. But how many people are going to afford that? There was no talk that I saw today of, we launched this one, then we launched the mass market one. And also the solar panel thing is kind of interesting, but that's the angle that all the websites or the tech websites that I have gone lulu, kind of like real crazy over. And, obviously like the fully charged video is amazing, like so many hits, that's awesome. But I need your help. What am I missing? Fill me in. I'm so pleased for these world record holders, these people who are experts in making a little bit of sunlight go a very long way. Ultimately, are they saying that all our cars should have solar panels on? Or are they like, we're going to develop this solar technology and then, one of the big car makers buys us and our investors get their money back and we all, go away very happy. I don't know. I don't think the cars are the ultimate thing. There must be something in this, even if it's just the tech. Holy moly, I feel bad questioning someone's endeavours. They've been working on this for a very long time as well, by the way. So brilliant. Some idiot on a podcast comes along and, just throws some shade. Well done me. Sorry. When everyone goes crazy over something and I don't get it, I'm like, am I just an idiot? It's an interesting concept. I just don't get it. It's a really interesting concept. There's a load of interesting concepts out there. But we wish them all the best, obviously. And oh my goodness, they've got a load of work ahead of them. I'm going to put the lightyear.one website, which is a brilliant URL, newdawn.lightyear.one in the show notes. Go and have a look for yourself. Really beautiful website as well, by the way. Some stunning images on there. I spent a lot of time on there today, and it's nice. It's polished. It's spent a lot of money. Right, let's move on to a Teslarati story today, all about Tesla's mobile service and service centres, now performing both on-site and in-house collision repairs. So look, these are the things that over the years, to even Tesla owners who are huge fans, have gone, look, if I could have one thing, sort out minor scuffs, scratches, dents, bolt-on replacements, like the bumper got bent beyond repair, and take off the old one, put on the new one. Fenders, doors, wing mirrors, for instance. Moving to expand, repairs done directly by Tesla ensures the quality work, the quick service and transparent pricing for owners of its electric vehicles, they say. Well, Teslarati says that the latest options can be scheduled using the Tesla app via the collision repair option in the service menu. And brilliant. It's one of the things that Elon has said himself they're really focusing on really hard, because they know it's a weak point. And your car, for a real minor bump or a little dink or something, I kind of get the feeling that third parties have been kind of pulling a fast one, taking far too long and charging far too much money, because Tesla as a startup just weren't in a position to have all of that in place immediately. And it's great news. They're getting it sorted. Lotus is a legendary name in cars and automotive. When Lotus first unveiled its plans for an all-new, all-electric, very much hypercar back in April, they codenamed it the Type 130, and a good number of people who were around at the time said, that's not going to be the final car name, is it? Well, Jalopnik thinks they have the answer. The Lotus Evija, E-V-I-G-A, maybe Evija, if you were Spanish and pronounced the J that way. The Lotus Evija? Evija? Makes sense, as all of Lotus's cars since the 50s really have begun with an E. Yeah, no, if you think Esprit, Evora, Elise, Exige, Elan, could make sense. Maybe we're going to get an all-electric hypercar called the Evija. Well, prices for the Nissan Leaf E-Plus are out for the UK. So for my UK listeners, if you fancy a 62 kilowatt hour Leaf E-Plus Techna, it starts at just under £36,000. That does include the money they've taken off for the government grant. £35,895 for the E-Plus. 62 kilowatt hour battery pack, 55% more capacity, 25% improvement over the current version in energy density. It's a similar size, but not identical pack to the 40 kilowatt hour Leaf. And it has given the Leaf E Plus a range of 239 miles on the European WLTP test cycle. 239, not a bad number. Anything over 200 is pretty much good for doing you long distances, as long as you can charge. But then we get to that. The car that was really dogged by Rapidgate, the car that when they first released it would get toasty warm and charge oh so slowly. Since then, a new update has been released. I know that some owners are still contacting their local Nissan places, their garages, and some people are getting great service and some people are getting sort of head scratching. In, you know, they're having to educate their dealers on some bits of the process to get that update on their car. Nissan PR says this, and this is great PR speak, and I quote, "Fine-tuned since the launch of the original Leaf in 2011, an internal thermal management system is also installed in every Leaf, ensuring that fast charging performance is optimized for specific driving conditions. The system also ensures that the quality and longevity of the battery is maximized, giving customers peace of mind and high levels of performance." End quote. Yes, there is an internal thermal management system installed on every single Nissan Leaf. It's called, if you get too hot, charge very, very slowly. It's not called a fan. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if this new 62 kilowatt hour Nissan Leaf E-Plus has active thermal management. I kind of got bored at the time from all of the PR guff that was coming out of Nissan around the time. I think I did find out. I'll go and have a look. It's very tiring. You know, it's so nice when companies can hold their hand up and go, oh, crikey, we stuffed up here, but we're going to fix it. We're really sorry. Low charge speeds is crappy. We're sorry we messed up. We're trying to protect the battery. Not good enough. But then, you know, at the time, I guess if you do that, then not so much here, but in countries where lawsuits are kind of more common, you end up getting sued. You admit a mistake, you're going to get sued. So it's easier to go, hey, no, the car's meant to do that. Charge slowly, we're protecting the battery. So once again, the press release that accompanies this news says that the internal thermal management's been fine-tuned and they install one on every Leaf. Well, anyway. Let's move on to question of the week. A question of the week this week, thanks to myev.com. You can send me your answers to this one and we'll read them out on Sunday. And I love this part of the show on Sundays. It's all about you. Do EVs have anything more to prove? New EVs are so good, they beat ICE cars in every way. Do EVs have anything more to prove? You can let me know. Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, time for the endy bit. There are 227 patrons of the podcast that keep me going, and thank you so much for your generosity. If you want to have a look at what Patreon's all about, it's patreon.com/evnewsdaily. Well, there are 508 previous shows online. You can get them first and free and automatically by... I've already stuffed up the endy bit. The 508 shows are the old ones. Get the new ones first and free and automatically by hitting the subscribe button. Now, God, I've messed this up. If you want to leave a review, please give me one star and say, he's an idiot. And if you want to say hi on the social, search EV News Daily by searching. Goodness me, I think I better go. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a perfect end to a podcast.